Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the BMW Industries Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Arihant Capital. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. And I've handed the conference over to Mr. Miraj Shah from Arihant Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Neha. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Q1 FY25 earnings conference call of BMW Industries. Today, from the management, we have Mr. Harsh Bansal, the Managing Director, Mr. Abhishek Agarwal, the CFO, and Mr. Sanjeev Sancheti, Investor Relations, UIS Advisors. Without further ado, Sanjeev sir, I'll hand over the conference to you.
Thank you, Miraj. Good afternoon to all the participants. It is a pleasure to introduce to all of you the senior management team of BMW Industries today. With me are Mr. Harsh Bansal, Managing Director, and Mr. Abhishek Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer of the company. Before I hand over the call to Mr. Harsh Bansal for the opening remark, I would like to draw your attention to the safe harbor statement in the earnings presentation. Request you all to go through the safe harbor statement as it is extremely important. Over to you, Mr. Bansal.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon and a very warm welcome to the company's quarter one FY25 earning call. I hope all of you are well. I will guide you through the key business and operational highlights of the past quarter. And as usual, our Chief Financial Officer, Abhishek Agarwal, will share the financial performance metrics. For those new to the company, here is a brief overview of our operations. The company focuses on adding value to semi-finished steel products. This strategic approach allows us to maintain stable margins and protect against the volatility of steel cycles. By doing so, we ensure sustainable margins and a reliable cash flow, mitigating the impacts of demand and supply fluctuations as well as market-related risks. Our strong track record is demonstrated by a 30-year-plus relationship with our customers. Our unique selling proposition lies in offering a comprehensive suite of services covering the entire value chain and benefits from our advantages, geographical proximity to our customers. Additionally, our fleet of long-haul trailers enhances our end-to-end solution delivery capability, providing us with a strategic advantage. We are pleased to announce that our company achieved its highest ever quarterly profit after tax in quarter one FY25, reaching rupees 22 crores, surpassing last quarter's record. Additionally, we set record production volumes across the verticals. We are pleased to report an operating revenue of rupees 174 crores in quarter one FY25, resulting in a year-on-year growth of 10.20%. As discussed in our previous call, the company is actively pursuing its growth opportunities. As planned, we have expanded our pipes and tube segment throughout FY24 and will continue this in FY25, driven by a strong demand in the sector. Phase 1 of this expansion is currently underway, increasing our capacity to 534,000 metric tons by quarter 2 FY25. Additionally, the agreement for the conversion of GPGC sheets through the CRM complex has been extended till September 2024. Agreement for MS pipe has been extended till August 24. We are hopeful of a long-term arrangement for both the processes to continue. Our strategy for establishing our own brand includes key several initiatives: adopting an asset-light model, developing a strong distribution network, expanding into underserved markets, enhancing our in-house logistics capabilities, and actively building our brand value. We are committed to achieving sustained growth and maximizing capital efficiency. In addition to the above, we seek to strengthen our conversion business by utilizing our current facilities and, if needed, developing new plants. By proactively identifying growth opportunities, we aim to establish a unique market presence. This strategy positions us to seize opportunities in the B2B2C segment and reinforces our status as a leading provider of comprehensive solutions to the Indian market. I am pleased to announce the successful commissioning of our solar energy project at the Calcutta plant. In line with our commitment to sustainability and reducing our carbon footprint, we are launching a second solar energy project in Jamshedpur with an approximate capacity of 6 megawatts. The capital expenditure for the project would be about rupees 30 crores, funded 75% by debt and 25% by internal accruals. Our main focus remains on optimizing capacity utilization and reducing our net debt. Together with our ongoing expansion efforts, we are well positioned for strong revenue growth and a sustainable margin I now would like to hand over to Abhishek, our CFO, to provide updates on the financial numbers. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Wishing you all a very good afternoon. We greatly appreciate your presence at the Q1 FY25 BMWIL earnings call. Before we start the Q&A session, I will provide you with a concise overview of the financial figures for the quarter. During the quarter, our company's operating revenue grew by 26.5% quarter on quarter from 137 crores to 174 crores. Our gross profit grew by 10.5% year on year to 113 crores, leading to a margin of 65.2%. Our operating EBITDA grew by 15.5% year on year to 42 crores, while the operating EBITDA margin expanded significantly by 112 basis points year on year, reaching 24.4%. We reported our highest ever quarterly PAT of 22 crores, registering a growth of 43.5% year on year. PAT margin stood at 12.7% as against 9.8% in the previous year. ROE and ROCE for the quarter ending June 24 stood at 13.3% and 16% as compared to 10.1% and 12.5% in March 24. Net debt remains at a stable level and stood at 117 crores in June 24 as compared to 221 crores in June 23. Net debt by equity stood at 0.17 and net debt by operating EBITDA stood at 0.69 in June 24. We have seen a steady improvement in our cash conversion cycle from 130 days in June 23 to 53 days in June 24. Our Managing Director, Mr. Harsh Bansal, has already discussed the pipe expansion plan. Out of the proposed capacity of 5,34,000 metric ton, by the end of March 24, we have successfully installed and commissioned 4,14,000 metric ton. The capex for the remaining 1,20,000 metric ton has been incurred, with commissioning expected to in Q2 FY25. We released our midterm guidance in the last quarter, and for those who were not able to attend, I will share the same once again. We expect to achieve a top line CAGR of around 17-18%, an operating EBITDA margin of approximately 27-28%, and a PAT margin of about 12.5-13% by FY26. We remain focused on our long term goals of sustainable growth and profitability. With that, I open the floor for Q&A and hand over the call to Mr. Birasa. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Junit Singh from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm new to the company, so I firstly would just like to understand that we were doing revenues of about 950 CR in FY18 and around 615 CR till COVID struck. And our margins were in the range of 16% to 18%. But post-COVID, our revenues went down to 400 CR and now they have recovered back to FY20 levels. And the margins post-COVID have been about 25%. So I just want to understand what was the structural change which led to a decline in revenue firstly, and this rise in margins.
Previously, pre-COVID, we used to have our own B2B and B2C business, where the revenues were high since we were booking the total sales in our revenue, and the margin in percentage were on a lower side since the numerator was high. After post-COVID, we have been focusing more on the conversion business. As a result, the revenue, the capacity utilization is high, resulting in a higher revenue, but since the conversion incomes are only booked in the revenue, so the revenue in absolute numbers are not increasing, though the productions are high than pre-COVID. Similarly, the absolute margins have increased, but since again the numerator is low, the margins have increased significantly.
Well, so pre-COVID, were we involved in trading of any sorts?
Small quantity to fulfill the basket of B2B business. Some quantity needs to be traded so that the basket is full. So that was being traded.
All right, sir. And what gives us the confidence to maintain 25 or 27% margins going forward? And what are the threats? What are the downside risks that we see to our margins?
See, we are doing a conversion business where the cost of goods sold, the raw material cost is not in our books. So as stated by our MD sir already in the call, this we are not affected by the steel cycle. So maintaining the margin with one basis point plus minus is very much possible in our business. And seeing the trend since last 3 to 4 years post-COVID, you can have a feel that the margins are stable. Apart from this, the cost of goods sold consists of zinc, basically, which is a pass-through cost again. So the margins are not impacted for the change in the steel prices or the change in the major raw material cost. So we are confident of making the margin stable going forward.
All right, sir. Go ahead. That's all from myself. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Singh from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So we believe that this galvanized pipes and MS pipes are sort of a value-added product and should command some better realization. So in this regard, can you please share what is the current realization of these two products, and also what would be the sustainable realization for both galvanized and MS pipes?
Hi, this is Harsh. Thank you for the question. Just to clarify, we have very actively stayed away from giving very, very specific vertical details. So I'm sorry, I cannot share that specific for GI with you, for MS5 with you. However, to the first part of your question, I do understand that these are value-added products, but for those people who are actually branding and distributing it, we as a company do not do that. Our pipes and tubes business is focused towards conversion for our primary customer, who then distributes and brands and everything else. So I'm sure there is a margin and there is a premium in it for them. However, like mentioned by Abhishek in answer to the last question, we work on a flat processing fee with a multi-year contract. So whether the markets are up or down, that really doesn't affect our margins or our revenues.
Okay, all right. And regarding our capex, so how much time would it take us to reach the optimum utilization, and what would be the optimum utilization for us?
So we, we assume optimum utilization to be anywhere in the 70% range, and typically it would take anywhere between 1 and 2 quarters to scale it up. But however, having said that, please appreciate that these are typical numbers. We are reliant on a different party for helping us ramp up. And so while typically it may be 1 to 2 quarters, I would also like to put a disclaimer over here. It can go longer.
Okay, all right. And just to clarify the previous point, so it doesn't matter much to us whether we produce normal or convert normal pipes or we convert galvanized or MS pipes. Is that the fair understanding?
That's true.
Okay, all right. Got my answers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pradeep Rawat from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. First, related to our EBITDA margin for this quarter. So we delivered quite good EBITDA margin this quarter. So can you please explain the reason why the margins expanded?
So thank you for the question, and also thank you for the good comments. I think the EBITDA margins expanded because we are very efficient. Sorry, jokes aside. But, you know, as the benefit of volumes kick in, you will see some of these numbers. All right? If you recall the last quarter that we had, while the expenditure had been made and the lines had been commissioned, the volumes had not kicked in. So this, and we had mentioned even then, that you will probably see the effect of the volume kick in the following quarter, and that has actually happened. So so you're seeing an expansion of the EBITDA margins.
Yeah, and the guidance that you are giving for long-term guidance for EBITDA is 27% to 28%. So that is primarily from operating leverage, right?
Pardon, please, you have...
Hello? Operating leverage? And obviously, yeah, better utilization as well, right? Both,
yeah,
combination of both, yeah.
Okay. And my next question is regarding our zinc cost. So what is the percentage of zinc cost in our cost of goods sales mix?
So we've actually stayed away from specifying the exact zinc numbers, but needless to say that, you know, it's a pass-through for us.
Okay. And with regard to our pipe and tubes business, so the expansion that we are making, so do we see any kind of offtake risk with the increased capacity?
We actually don't see that. We are doing this based on certain assumptions and discussions with our customers. So we actually don't see that risk.
Okay. And with regard to pipes and tubes only, so do you see any kind of oversupply situation in the near future given the expanding capacity in the industry?
Not for the foreseeable future.
Okay, so not for any 1 to 2 years time frame, right?
No, I mean, at least you can see 2 years down, I can't even see that much, but I don't foresee a oversupply situation. I think we are a growing economy. Steel plays a very large part in that. And as the economy continues to grow, you know, uses of steel, fabrication, structural will continue to grow. So, you know, unless something drastic happens, I don't see a saturation of demand.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mira Shah from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Sir, just one quick question regarding the guidance that you gave, that top line you're expecting a growth of 17% to 18% with an EBITDA margin of 27% to 28% and a PAT margin of 12.5% to 13%. Just looking at our current figures that come after EBITDA, I believe that there is some discrepancy, or there is a huge difference between EBITDA and PAT, because our interest costs are currently roughly 18 to 20 crores. Our depreciation is roughly 40 to 45, 50 crores. And going ahead, if I do just brief numbers also, I believe that either the EBITDA margins would be a bit lower or the PAT margins would be a bit higher. So is this just, can you just clarify a bit on this?
Thank you, Miraj. Going forward, our revenue consists of two portions, basically. It consists of a portion of zinc and the conversion. The conversion is almost fixed over the tenure. Zinc, as said by the MD sir also, it's a pass-through cost. So it's a pass-through cost which is there in the cost and the revenue. So once you go with the margin, the margin changes with the change in the revenue. Like in the last quarter, 24, the prices of zinc, the commodity was very low. So the top line was not there, the margins were quite lucrative. We clarified at that time also the margin might change, but the absolute numbers will increase. In the first quarter, the rates of zinc have been increased a bit, fallen in the second month, in May, again in June it rises. So the revenues were also good. But going forward, our guidance was based on a zinc rate which was based on the last year. Suppose in this year the commodity performs very well, so but naturally our revenues will increase. So but the absolute profit will be in the same line what we have given in guidance, which might result in change in the margins as given in the guidance, but the absolute numbers will increase with the production volume increasing.
Let me also explain it very simply. When you have a pass-through item in your revenue, which doesn't result in a profit, because pass-through is always a pass-through, right? It will be sitting in the revenue and the cost. So what will happen if that pass-through, because the commodity is changed, if the pass-through, let's say zinc cost goes up, then my revenue will go up, my cost will go up, but my margin will go down because my PAT will not change because of that. Similarly, when there will be a reverse cycle of zinc prices, my revenue will go down, my cost pertaining to zinc will go down, my profit will anyway remain the same, and my margins will increase. So we have to see margins, we have to see in this business where there's a pass-through, whether my absolute number or a per ton conversion profitability is decreasing or increasing. That's more important. And as we said, because of better utilization of our capacities, because of our high capacity and significant operating leverage and paring down of our debt in future, you will definitely see an improvement in margin, at least per ton basis, definitely. So your profitabilities and ROCs will go up. But as far as the PAT or the operating margin or the EBITDA margin is concerned, the margin per se can fluctuate because of the zinc pass-through prices going up and down.
Understood. Okay, sir. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahesh from Veer Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, Mahesh.
Yes, sir. So thank you for the opportunity. So I had some few questions. So the first one is, so we have done about broadly 113,000 tons of volumes of pipes and tubes in FY24 production. But in Q1 FY25 itself, we have done about 47,000 tons. So at this rate, our capacity utilization is around 46%. So can we assume production of 200,000 tons in FY25?
Yeah, I think that's in the safe assumption.
Okay, sir. And so the next question is, so we wanted to take the capacity of pipes and tubes to 534,000 tons by FY24 end. So have we added the remaining, but last time I checked, we were at 414,000 tons. So have we added the remaining capacity?
That it should get operational during this quarter.
Okay, this quarter. Okay, sir. Yes. And so for TMT bars, we aim to achieve around 82% utilization by FY26. and we have already done that in Q1 FY25. So can we expect to deliver 82% utilization in FY25 itself? Or if I can reframe that, can we do around 250 tons of production in FY25?
So we don't, you know, based on our assumptions, we expect these numbers to hold for the rest of the year. However, should there be any material change on the customer side in terms of semis supply, you know, we'll keep you guys updated in the following quarters. But as things stand now, I think it's a very safe assumption to meet these numbers for the full year.
Okay, so for this. And also wanted to understand, sir, how are the negotiations going on for the extension of CRM complex contract? So when we say we will sign a long-term contract, so what will be the duration of it?
So the long-term contracts are anywhere in the range of 3 to 5 years. And negotiations are never good or bad, yeah, they're just ongoing. So as far as we are concerned, so long as the negotiation is going, it's just ongoing. We are hopeful of closing individually all of them anytime soon.
Yeah. Okay, for it, sir. And this is a bit of a broader question.
I request you to come back for a follow-up question. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, on a great set of numbers, and thank you for the opportunity. So I was seeing this pipes and tubes, the sales number we have posted for in terms of volume, around 46% utilization on annualized basis. So just to get an understanding, we are targeting to, you know, I have an installed capacity of 5,34,000, primarily coming in Q2, the around 1,20,000. And we have a targeted, you know, production of 346,500 for the year. So I just wanted to understand, do we have, you know, a commitment of certain orders going ahead, or what is the rationale behind, how do we see this market? I mean, if you could just help me understand.
You know, number one, yes, we have contracts. Like with any other contract, there are no commitments. My assumption is that you mean a take or pay kind of an arrangement in the contract. There is nothing like that. On the second part of your question, I think, you know, we are a very economical option for anybody to produce pipes. So, so long as there is a healthy market situation, there is a demand situation, the customer has adequate raw materials, I don't see any reason for the capacities to not be utilized. Having said that, you know, market is anybody's guess. So, you know, I don't want to kind of jinx anything over here.
Understood. So basically, when I said, do we have a commitment, I said, is there any client who has said that if you put up this plant, I'll take 50% of the order that way?
Just so, you know, these are all on verbal, right? So there are no written contracts and commitments. So long as it's not on writing, it has really very little value.
Right. That is true. Coming to the revenue guidance, what is our near-term guidance like for FY25 and 26?
I'm not very good with the numbers there. I'll let Abhishek take that.
Our revenue for FY25 is expected to be somewhat around 690 to 700 crores. And in FY26, it's around approximately 850 crores.
850, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Right. Thank you. I'll get back in line.
Generally, we don't guide absolute numbers, but nevertheless.
Yeah. Just a ballpark number. I mean, understandable because the RM prices could change the net sales as well. So, very well. Yeah. Can. Thank you.
So we expect about a 17% CAGR, 17 to 18%.
Yeah. But that's our, stick to that only.
Correct.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Miraj Shah from Orient Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just a couple of things. In pipes and tubes, so do we manufacture seamless or stainless pipes also?
No, yeah, Miraj. We are only in MS-ERW.
Also, in MS-ERW, sir, beyond HR coil, anything else would be a raw material as well?
No, only HR coils. HR and CR coils.
Sir, could you just guide how have the prices been in the past two quarters, like in the past 6 months, and how they've moved in, let's say, from the start of this quarter as well, in the past 18 days?
You're talking about HR coil prices?
HR coil, yes, sir.
So, yeah, you know, Miraj, we don't buy the HR or the CR, right? It's free supplied by the customer. So, I don't think any of us are adequately qualified to answer that question yet.
Okay, understood. And sir, I also read this one part that we've set up a second solar energy project, roughly 6 megawatts. So, what was the size of the first one? First solar?
About 5.
And does this adequately be used in for our captive use only, or is there still any other sourcing also left?
So this is completely for captive use. The issue here is that even though we may have more space, regulations are bottleneck. So we have installed as much as we are allowed to install currently, and we'll be on the lookout however the regulations move. If in the future we are allowed to install more, we'll do that here.
Okay, so as per regulations, 11 is all that we can do?
It's actually location-based. So in West Bengal, I can only do 5. And in Jamshedpur, currently, with a mix of space and regulations, I can only do 6.
Understood. And sir, how much cost saving are we expected to generate from this by moving to solar?
So we'll have to actually wait to see, like with any other project, a lot of the savings are based on assumptions. Part of it is also our commitment to the green thing, so it's not a completely rupee play. However, I'm sure in the coming quarters you'll be able to see the effects, and we'll be better able to talk about it. I mean, once the commissioning is done and we are able to see the benefits concretely, consistently over several months.
Okay. And so the gross debt figure that we've given for Q1 FY25, roughly 107 crores, does this include the debt for phase 2 or is it excluding the debt for phase 2?
It is excluding the debt for phase 2.
Okay, so we can separately take. Okay, understood. Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot. I'll get back in the
Thank you, Raj.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next follow-up question is from the line of Mahesh from Veer Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. So, just wanted to understand if you could throw some light on our current order book and what is our time frame for execution?
So ours is we don't have specific order books per se. We have long-term contracts for the entire capacity that we operate for the customers. And so in some way, if my cubes capacity is 530,000 tons, that's the expected order load. But like I said, let's say 70% of that to be practical. So I'm not sure if I'm clear, but we don't work on a project-like system where a specific order book. We operate the entire capacity for a specific customer.
Okay, sir, understood. So, and my next question was a bit broad question. So we have 3 subsidiaries, namely Sai Bansal Service Center, BMW I&M Steel, and Nippon Cairo. So if you could throw some light on what are the operation of these 3 entities?
Nippon Cairo is basically 100% subsidiary. Processing for Tata Steel. From GP Coil, they are processing. And BMW IRS Steel is again a 100% subsidiary of BMW Industries Limited, where we are doing MS and GI pipes. One, Cell Welfare is a joint venture with Cell.
where 60% ownership is with BMW and 40% is with Cell. There we are doing a steel service center job, basically a blanking line and flat product.
Okay, okay. Yes, sir. And so lastly on Bansal Super, have we laid out a growth plan for that, or we will that be done post negotiations complete with Tata Steel?
So Bansal Super has nothing to do with negotiations with Tata Steel. As we mentioned in the past, we will continue to nurture and grow this vertical of our business because it's a very slow and steady and a long process to build a brand. And a distribution network. Currently, our focus remains on ensuring that we are cash positive in our sales and we don't bleed. So we continue to grow the network. We continue to nurture this product and brand. And we hope to create a sustainable supply chain, robust supply chain soon. But, you know, other than that, I don't know what to say here.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you. Sir, thank you for the for answering the questions. I'll join back with you if I have any further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Pradeep Rawat from Yoga Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. So we have dedicated facilities to our customers. So in case of lower offtake, our capacity remains idle, or we use it for some other customer?
So there are different contracts in different plants. In some cases, we can use it for others. In others, it's an exclusive arrangement.
Okay. And my other question is regarding our margins. So in our contracts, our margins are fixed. So is it fixed in percentage terms or absolute terms?
Absolute terms.
Okay, absolute
the
terms.
The margins are not fixed. The compensation of the contract is fixed.
Okay, so it is absolute on the basis of per ton, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh from United Infraco Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. I've got two small questions. Number one, because I've been following with what Tata Steel has been doing with its partners, so I just wanted to know when the contract would be renewed. Because as far as my understanding, this contract is still not been renewed.
So like mentioned earlier, the negotiations are on and we are hopeful of renewal. We've already, you know, we've extended a number of times. The current tubes contract has been extended up to August and the CRM contract is up to September. The TMT contract is up to November 25th. So.
No, sir. My apologies if I intrude. Because as far as my understanding goes, there is a lot of pressure on Tata Steel to improve upon its margin. And the way they are negotiating with other contracts, everything is going into a limbo. So that is why as an investor, we were a bit concerned to ask this question, sir.
But guys, thank you. I'm sure you then definitely know something which I don't. But like with any other buyer-seller negotiation, everybody is always in a pressure, right? I mean, the buyer will always be in a pressure to reduce the price. The seller is always in a pressure to increase the price. And that's why it's a negotiation. If there was no pressure, then it would be a cakewalk, na?
Yeah, I understand. But this has been extended to quite a bit because the number of extensions given have been never before. Like, anyway, right, sir, you know the business better, sir. We are only investors. Second question is, sir, what is if Tata Steel tomorrow decides to set up its own setup, then do we have another venues of opportunities? Because we are long-term investors with BMW. So are we building another line of opportunities to de-risk this?
So I think we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Yeah, we are not, we don't think about that part of it right now. We've been doing this for the last 30 years, out of which for the last 25 years people have been asking us this question. So, you know, I don't think because it's Tata, I think it's very safe to say that there is a very little chance of them doing anything irrational and doing whatever is fair. So, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Thank you so much, sir. You used two keywords which give the satisfaction. One is irrational and second is fair. So we absolutely have faith in your abilities and capabilities, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next follow-up question is from the line of Miraj Shah from Orient Capital. Please go ahead.
So just one clarification. I think in one of the earlier questions, you spoke about what kind of tonnage you could do in pipes and tubes in the full year. So I believe you lied close to 2 lakh tons is something that you can do. What I want to understand is that is based on only the current capacity, that is 414,000 tons. Once we add another 120,000, which will come in next quarter, won't this figure actually go up, because this is just under 50% utilization?
So, welcome back, Miraj. And so I think if you go back to that answer, you'll see that I said it's a very safe assumption. I didn't give a number.
Oh, okay.
The gentleman asking the question had said that can we assume you will do so and so, and I said yes, that's a very safe assumption.
Understood. Okay, got it. And sir, any plans in TMT to increase the capacity, or will that decision only be taken after negotiation in FY 2025?
So there are currently discussions on, because we are looking at the customer also increasing their capacity for semis and raw materials. And so natural progression, they will also be looking to increase downstream capacities either directly or through converters like us. And so we are already in discussion with them on that. You know, when that will fructify is anybody's guess.
Understood. And the contract you said was 3 to 5 years, right? General 3 to 5 years?
The execution time is generally 2 to 2.5 years. The contract tenure could be negotiated up to 5 years.
Understood. Okay. Fine. Great. That's it from my side, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Miraj Shah for closing comments.
Yeah, thanks a lot for allowing us to host you again, sir. That's it. Back to you, Sanjeev, sir.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks a lot to all the investor community and all the analysts from Arian Capital and the management team for joining this call. Really appreciate your time and wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Mirajji. Thank you to everyone and for keeping us on track. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Arian Capital and BMW Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.